Again, we'd like to turn to Romans chapter 1. We've been, again, the subject of Romans 1 is the revealing of God's wrath. And it's a very accurate portrait of our nation, of society in general, of the world in general, not just our nation. We see that there's this cycle. We see in verse 22 or verse 21 we've been looking at, because that, so that states a reason. Because when they knew God, and we've seen in our natural consciousness, when they knew God in that way, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became. So they became something. They did not become something better. You will never become something better by rejecting God. Politicians and many educators and many others try to convince us today that man is getting better, but that's not possible because man has rejected God. They are becoming something, but again, it's not better and it's not progress in the good sense of the word, but became vain, and this is in their imaginations or in their mind. They became vain in their imaginations. That is, their minds become futile. Their minds become useless. Their minds become unproductive. Imaginations, as we've already pointed out, has to do with our thoughts. Their thoughts become vain. Has to do with our reasonings. You try to reason with most people today, and it's almost beyond belief. They have no ability to reason because their imaginations are vain. Imaginations has to do with our speculations, our conclusions. The conclusions that man comes to. I mean, he can take basic facts and come to a conclusion that is pure fantasy. He has some facts, but he is not able to make a right conclusion. That's a vain mind. That's a vain imagination. That's where we are today. It also would include our incentives, our mind. Again, it's vain. It's useless. It's futile. So the entire thought process, and this is just by way of review, we've gone over these things. The entire thought process is vain, which of course leads to many things, none of them good. It leads to self-esteem, self-superiority. We're surrounded by these things today. Self-absorption, self-glorification, self-will, I'll do what I want. Have the right to do what I want. Self-seeking, self-sufficiency, and on we go. They became vain in their imaginations. We saw last week that this leads to vanity in every area of life. Leads to vain babblings. There's a lot of that today. Vain babblings. vain words, vain knowledge, Job speaks of in Job 15 in verse 2. Vain knowledge. People think today that they're more knowledgeable than any other society that has inhabited the earth. Nothing could be further from the truth. And what they know is vain. It's empty. It doesn't do them any good. And we spoke about that last week. Trivia. We have a society that loves trivia. That's vain knowledge. That's just, it's futile. It doesn't mean anything. Vain hope. People have vain hope. They build their life on vain hopes. Vain customs. Vain comfort. The things that people look to for comfort today does not give them lasting comfort. It's vain. There's vain worship. This is everywhere. You look at the religious, the so-called religious world, so-called Christendom, and for the most part, their worship is vain. And that's because they've become something. They've become vain in their imaginations. The Lord speaks of this vain worship in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 11 through 15. He speaks of it. He speaks of it in Isaiah 29, verse 13. Jesus makes reference to it. Notice in Matthew chapter 15. I mean, if you go to most churches today, this is what could be said. Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The previous verse, verse 8, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they became vain. Not only in their imaginations, but they become vain in their worship. Most worship services today is just utter foolishness. Just to appease the flesh of man. Mark 7, verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines commandments of men. There's vainglory. Galatians speaks of vainglory in Galatians 5, verse 26. The things that people take glory in, it's vain. It's vain. Their sport team wins and they'll make us, this is the happiest day of my life. That's pitiful. That's really sad. Vain glory. The book of Ecclesiastes. Let's turn there. But the book of Ecclesiastes, there's different views upon the book of Ecclesiastes. That is, Solomon, of course, is the author. Some would debate that, but that's foolishness. What is the point that Solomon is making? Solomon, of course, was an individual who had everything. But Solomon fell into sin and for the most part lived his life apart from God. Solomon's life is very sad. Solomon found that apart from God, life is vanity. That's what he discovered. And I believe that's his whole point in Ecclesiastes. Some people read Ecclesiastes and they say, Everything is vanity. Well, I don't believe that's what is being said. What is being said is, apart from God, everything is vanity. Even if you have everything the world has to offer, as Solomon did. But he was a miserable individual. Because for the most part, again, he lived his life apart from God. And we read here in Romans 1, verse 1, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. In other words, they began to live their lives apart from God. And Solomon is stating here in Ecclesiastes, it's like he's saying, this is what I have discovered. This is the point that I have come to. Apart from God, everything is vanity. Everything is futile. It's worthless. It means nothing. And that's the world today. The world lives their life apart from God. That is, they're oblivious to God. They give no concern, no thought to God. In fact, it's becoming more and more people are offended by God. But here's what Solomon discovered. Apart from God, all earthly pleasure loses its meaning. Now, is all earthly pleasure vain? No, I don't believe so. Not if you live it with God. Is it vain to have pleasure in visiting with your family or your friends? No, but if it's apart from God, it means nothing. All earthly pleasure apart from God loses its meaning. It's empty. It brings no real satisfaction. Notice what he says in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. Solomon is searching and he says, I said in my heart, go find pleasure and that'll make you happy. Behold, this is also vanity. Why is the world always coming up with new pleasures? Because the old one was vain. And they're hoping maybe this new one. And what's pleasure at one time will not be at another time. Because it continues to change. Notice verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 2. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. People love to have a good time. It's unbelievable how far people drive to have a good time. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. It's all vanity, apart from God. Chapter 7, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. As the crackling of the thorns under a pot, in other words, it doesn't last long, so is the laughter, so is the good time of the fool. And who is the fool? The fool saith in his heart, there is no God. Is what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. It's the person who tries to live their life apart from God. All is vanity. All is vanity. We see also that apart from God, worldly possessions are empty and unsatisfying. Ecclesiastes 2, notice verses 4 through 11. I made me great works. I builded me houses.
I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house also. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me to silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. I was the richest man of that time. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun, apart from God. Apart from God, it's all in vain. It's all vanity. Notice along those lines in chapter 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Why? Because silver doesn't bring him what he thought it would. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. That not only is the silver vanity, but more importantly, the thought process. The thought process of silver is going to make my life better. This is going to make my life better. That's going to make my life better. That thought process is vain imaginations. What makes your life better is a closer relationship to the Lord. Without God, it's all in vain. Notice his labor and being successful. We put successful in quotations. Christianity has brought into the world's definition of success. Success is not happiness, because you can be foolishly happy and ignorant. Success is not what you achieve in this world. Remember, God said to Joshua in Joshua 1, he told him, thou shalt find good success. And it was all related to God. Here's success. You do what God tells you to do. You stay in the will of God. That's success. You might die in poverty, but that's success. That's success, just simply doing what God tells you to do, being in the will of God. Don't buy into the world's definition of success, because the world's definition of success is apart from God. Apart from God, all is vanity. So notice Ecclesiastes 1, verses 17 and 18. I gave my heart to know wisdom. So that's education. And we're not, right now, criticizing education or knowledge. But apart from God, it's dangerous. And to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge, that is, outside of God, increaseth sorrow. You can't just take that as a blanket statement and say that all knowledge brings sorrow. No, but apart from God, education is in vain. It's futile. It doesn't amount to anything. So when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. They became. And man is becoming more and more and more. That's the cycle. Man rejects God more and more. So man becomes more and more vain in their thought process, more and more futile in their thought process. Common sense is a very, 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 very rare thing. And that's because man is becoming more and more and more vain in their imaginations. You listen, again, to, don't, but you listen to politicians. Some of the things that they think is beyond belief. I mean, there is absolutely no right-thinking two-year-old would believe such nonsense. But they become vain in their imagination. And it just gets worse and worse. When you think you've heard the stupidest thing you've ever heard, watch the next day. You'll hear something even more stupid. Because man just, it's almost like they're in a contest. Well, I can outdo you in stupidity. That's why the upcoming debates will be interesting, because that's basically what it is, a contest to see who can show who's the most stupid, who's the most ignorant. I wouldn't want to win. They become vain in imaginations. Notice also, and verse 21, Romans 1:21. And, other than becoming vain in their imagination, in addition to their minds becoming vain, they're foolish. That is, their God thoughtless and vain heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. It became more foolish. Because of rejection of God, their hearts are immersed in darkness. In describing the heart, the very being of the ones who rejected a natural knowledge and consciousness of God. These are the individuals who did not glorify God as God. These are the individuals who are not thankful, oblivious of the blessings of God. Again, just like the hog under the acorn tree, just eating away, never looking up, never giving any thought to where those acorns might be coming from. That's how people are. They enjoy God's creation, they enjoy God's bounty, and for the most part, they never give thought to where it comes from. Never give thought. That's foolish. That's a foolish heart. They neither were thankful, and they become more and more secular in their thoughts, more and more secular in their reasonings and their speculations and their conclusions. And Paul, under the inspiration of Spirit, says their hearts were foolish. The word foolish, in this case, is the Greek word asuentos, meaning without discernment. Their hearts were foolish. They had no discernment or understanding. What it means is they're senseless. Their heart, their foolish heart, their heart that lacks discernment and understanding and sense. Their foolish heart. A heart that has no discernment. What is discernment? Discernment died a long time ago, for the most part. I'm not saying there's There are some who have discernment, of course, but discernment is the ability to make a distinction between what is true and false. That's discernment. You're presented two contrary things, and you have the ability to say, this is true, this is false. It is the ability to know what is right and wrong. Not only does man not have discernment, he encourages no discernment by saying there is no right or wrong. Well, that's even worse than not having the ability to discern. It's the ability to make a distinction between good and bad. His foolish heart, that heart that lacks discernment. From Ephesians 5, note if we turn over there and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, that is, very carefully. See then that you live your life carefully or with great care, not as fools, not as fools, not as those who have no discernment, but as wise. They became vain in their imaginations. Their heart is foolish. That is, they live life carelessly. They live life in a very unthinking way, inattentive. We have a society that does not seem to have the ability. There's certainly a couple of generations now that do not seem to have the ability to say, if I do this, this will be the consequence. They make no connection between behavior and consequence. So when they behave a certain way and the natural consequence comes, since they can't make that connection, and really, they can't. Their foolish heart was darkened. It's not that they won't. They can't. It's worse than they won't. They can't. So instead of tracing the consequence back to the behavior, it's everybody else's fault. There's no connection. The brain doesn't work that way. And why doesn't their brain work that way? Because they became vain in their imaginations. There's people who father children over and over and over again. They don't make the connection. They don't make the connection, and they do so out of wedlock. And mothers are left raising children by themselves, and they can't understand why. Vain imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. They have no discernment. They do not have the ability to discern. They do not make the connection. And I'm sure that the inability to make the connection between behavior and consequence is some sort of mental illness. And that is the point. They became vain in their imagination. They became vain in their thought process. And their foolish heart was darkened. There's a mental illness. And I'm not speaking medically, I'm speaking because of sin. Sin is insanity. Right. And sin causes mental illness. I'm not saying all. Sin can cause mental illness. There's the mental illness of sin. Society's plagued with it. They're absolutely plagued with it. And you sit down and you try to reason with a person who cannot make the connection between behavior and consequence, you'll drive yourself nuts. Trying to reason with that people. You're trying to reason with somebody who has not the ability to reason. This is the result of became vain in their imagination. This is where we are as a society. That's what people say, well, all you need to do is sit down and talk with them. Oh, yeah, try it. Oh, if it was only that easy. Well, they just need a good talking to. If it was only that easy. But it's much, much deeper than that. It's the progress of sin. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the truth that you reveal to us in your word. And we do pray for our society, our country, Lord, that you would have mercy, Lord. Help us to be the testimonies that we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to remain separate from this world. We just pray now that you'd help us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.